All right, folks. This is Ted Midward. Thanks for tuning in again. Today is, what is today? December 12th, 2017. And I've got another special guest here with me. I have Pastor Dan of By Yahweh's Design. Pastor Dan, how are you doing today?
Doing very good, thank you.
Hey, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. I really enjoy the emails you send out. There's been quite a few stories that I first got wind of via your email list and tree that you send out there, and I wanted to ask you about a couple of them. I guess we can lead off with what exactly is going on behind the scenes with the military and D.C. and Trump and the deep state. Have you followed this story pretty closely?
As much as you can without being in possession of a crystal ball or invited to the round table for the decision makers make their decisions. It's as close as I can get through many of my veteran friends and buddies that were either former or current law enforcement, things like that. Just sort of piece it together. I don't think a lot of this, everybody says, is Trump. I really don't believe that Trump is the motivating force. I believe President Trump is the face that's been put on this. Some people call it a soft coup. My personal belief is it's the what we call the white hats, the alliance, America First, whatever it's one of, you want to call it, of the military, that came to realize that this country was swinging vastly in the direction of communism. And they are true patriots who said that, no, we're not going to go that way. First of all, it's a failed system. There are multiple hundreds of millions of innocent souls that have been murdered by that regime. And we're not going to go that way. And so it is they who are behind this. And of the military, I believe the premier group to be the United States Marine Corps.
Okay, very good. Well, I know you're a military veteran, and I am not. I don't have friends or family members, that kind of thing. And I've always wondered over the years, is there ever going to be, maybe even in law enforcement, anybody in the military, anybody in the D.C. Beltway, is anybody ever going to step up and try to do anything and plunge a dagger into these people's hearts? And, of course, we all hope that to be the case one day, right? We hope someone steps to the plate and will do it. And I hold out hope, and I'm sure there are some good people in the system that keep their head low and keep quiet and leak things and pass on certain information. And really, with the Donald Trump thing, I don't really know what to make of it, Pastor Dan. I don't think he's on our side. As you would think it, but at the same time, I really don't understand why whoever, deep state or people that the Clintons have put in place throughout the government over the past 30 years, I don't know why they hate this man so much.
Well, they hate anything that resembles even a modicum of what America used to be. You gotta remember, these people are devout communists and Satanists. And as the scripture calls them, anti-Christ, meaning against Christ, against anything of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And so they detest it. So even if Trump is for real and he's a player, just the fact that he does anything to placate the what we call the right or the conservatives or patriotic portion of America that still believe in a Christian constitutional republic, which is exactly what we are, or at least what we're supposed to be, they detest anything of that block, that political block, whatsoever. And so they hate Trump for that reason, because he's agreed for whatever reason to be the face on this coup or whatever you want to call it. That's why I say, don't put all your faith in one man. The old saying used to be, don't put all your eggs in one basket back on the farm. So we don't want to, put all of our hopes in a Trump as a Messiah, because he is not the Messiah. Our Heavenly Father is the ultimate Messiah. No man will be the Messiah. But I see indications that the military is behind this, if it's for real. Again, there's no way to know. We could be being played as well. That's why I hold out for the patriots, the veterans, the law enforcement, the hunters, the citizens militia, which is a constitutionally mandated group in our country. Now, when Oklahoma City came about, one of the major reasons for the Oklahoma City bombing was to throw dispersions on the militia movement, which was going gangbusters back in the 80s and 90s. So Oklahoma City was their way of squashing it, because the media, anybody that was alive back then or an adult back then like I was, remembers that every day in the news was something about the militia, because, quote, Timothy McVeigh had one of Red Beckman's books in his car called Why the Militia, which I owned a copy of that myself. It's an excellent book, and it's still available, by the way, if you want to read a great treatise on why there is a militia, the whole purpose of a militia. So they had a copy of that, supposedly. Now, this whole thing with Timothy McVeigh, we know that's another psyop by the insiders. But anyway, they said, oh, we found this book, ha, ha, ha. You know, he supports the militia, therefore the militia's bad. And they tried to tie it to the Oklahoma City bombing, which we know because of Cody Snodgrass, the CIA black ops former contractor who has recently come out, and we interviewed him as well, telling the story about the real story behind the Murrah building, because he was one of the people contacted to bring it down. And he turned it down, and because of that, they went after him and threw him in prison and tried to kill him. So, you know, we know it was an inside job, and it was to disparage the whole militia movement because it was becoming so big, and they started to feel threatened by it. You know, our people need to remember there's an old saying, when the government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. And so we live in a land of tyranny today. And government, all forms of government need to be taught a lesson that you need to be afraid of us. The government should be afraid of us, because when they lose their fear of us, then they just commit all kinds of crimes. One of which I saw a video of today, which just upset me greatly, was the video going around of a police officer by the name of Mitch Brailsford in Mesa, Arizona, when he gunned down in cold blood a man on his knees in a hallway in a La Quinta motel a couple years ago, and just recently he was acquitted of murder charges. And anybody watching that video will tell you that that was cold-blooded murder by a person, not a man. Don't even tell me this guy's a man. No, he's not a man. He's a monster in a uniform with a badge, and he should be hanging from the end of a rope if we had real justice in this country. Unfortunately, we do not, because he committed cold-blooded murder. And I would even think that there should be charges against the other police officers, because they had six fully armed, bulletproof vests, Kevlar helmets, full automatic weapons, against one drunken poor soul from Granbury, Texas, that was in town for a business meeting with his wife or girlfriend, and he ends up getting five or six slugs from this guy's M16 rifle. So how in the hell did this poor guy, on his knees in skivvies, best t-shirt and shorts, on his knees, was a threat to these six fully armed thugs in the hallway? They gunned him down in cold-blooded murder, and they should all be on trial. Not just the guy that pulled the trigger. All six of them should be on trial for either being complicit or actually for murder itself. Since they were there, they did nothing to stop it. They did nothing to prevent this from happening. It's obvious when you watch the video of this, and this is a police video, that they were just itching to shoot this guy because they did everything they could to antagonize him, and create a situation where they'd be, quote, justified in pulling the trigger. And that's the problem when you have a standing army and a standing army of police in your country. They need to find something to kill because they've been trained for that. They got all these goodies now. And so now they look for opportunities to go out and use the, quote, goodies that they have. And so when some poor soul like this happens to be in a hallway, they just figure, why not, man? We got the badge. And believe me, I got family in law enforcement. I got friends in law enforcement. And some of them will be the first to tell you that things are out of control. This whole country is out of control.
Well, I can't help but agree with you. I saw the video that you're speaking of, and I reached the same conclusion. I thought the guy was over the line and put this guy through the rigmarole of do this and cross your ankles and put your hands on top of your head. And the guy's laying prone on the floor the whole time, and
not to mention the fact the guy had been drinking. He's drunk. Now, how many people do you know in your age bracket that have been out on a binge? They were in their motel rooms. It's not like they were out in the public. You're allowed to have a few drinks in your motel room. And here again, this all started with an anonymous phone call from somebody else in the hotel room who thought they saw the silhouette of a weapon. That's how this all started.
Oh, wow.
So this guy did not have a weapon, and he ends up with 5 or 6 slugs in him, and they killed him. I mean, it's just absolute insanity.
You know, it's one thing, Pastor Dan, when it's a situation like it's Darren Wilson, and he's dealing with the 6'3" inner-city youth who reaches for his gun, and Darren Wilson has to kill him in self-defense. It's another thing when you have, tattooed, 20-year-old, about my age. I saw a picture of this guy. Yeah, these egomaniacs behind a badge and a gun. This is dangerous stuff, and you got to be very careful. And even if you do everything, cooperating with the law, cooperating with the commands, you mess up one time, and they feel justified in pulling the trigger on you, even with the body cam rolling. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, well, here again, this is just another point where we need to return to God's law. Screw this whole idea that there's such a thing as man's law. Daniel Webster did not agree with that. William Blackstone, the great jurist from England that was taught in our law schools up until recent times, all of them agreed. The only law that's legitimate is laws that you create that are in concordance with and agreement with God's law. And what God's law tells us is that public servants are held to a higher standard, not a lower standard than we the people. They are held to a higher standard. Why? Because they are in positions of trust. And in positions of trust, there can also be abuse, as in the case with this so-called police officer. He was an animal. He may have had a uniform and a badge on, but he's an animal. I don't care what anybody says. That's the signs of an animal, an out-of-control animal. And God's law commands that kind of an animal be brought to justice, not acquitted. Because you send a strong message to we the people out here when you turn around and exonerate a animal who behaved in such a manner. Every police officer in America should have been screaming for this man's blood. To shoot that guy down in cold blood like that, how would they like their mother or their uncle or their grandfather to have been in that hallway and somebody with a badge and a gun turned loose on them? I dare say none of them would have thought that was, they'd be screaming for somebody's blood. Well, when police officers hide and support a thug like this, they send a clear message that they don't have a problem with we versus them. Because that's what's been set up in this country. When the government is allowed to make laws that say that if you hurt somebody in the government or in police or military uniform, you can be killed? They said they did away with the death penalty. Oh, yeah, except when the perpetrator has committed a crime against one of the protected class. So when you set up a we versus them situation, you're screaming for the citizenry to form the militia and start protecting themselves against the very people that we believe, anyway, and we've been taught to believe, that they're there to protect us. No, they're not. They're there as a police force to protect the politicians. My grandfather taught me that when I was 8 years old. If you think the local police are here to protect you, you're crazy. The police are a private army for the mayors and the councilmen and the state government, etc. They're not here for us. They're here to protect the status quo. We, the people, are to protect ourselves. And that, again, that gets back to why the militia. The militia is the body of able-bodied men up to the age of at least 45. You could probably say today even up to 55 or 60 who are able to carry arms are part of the militia. And why the militia and the Second Amendment is because of this very situation. When you have rogue elements portraying themselves as our protectors and they're gunning our citizenry down in cold blood, you have now declared war on us. And I would think any honest police officer out there realizes how serious this is. When you let an animal like this go, you are setting the stage for horrendous things to happen down the road to both sides. Not just us, but to them as well. All you got to do is look what happened to police officers in Mexico a few years back when they got out of control and they were finding police officers in burned out cars along back roads. And they had a judge that was macheted to death on the court steps in Mexico City. That was just a few years back. So that's the kind of situation you set up, and that's why it needs to be nipped in the bud. It's God's law or no law. God's law says if you're going to be a public servant, you'd better be crystal pure. You'd better be as pure as the driven snow, because that's the commandment. A double penalty on those in public service who commit crimes. And yet, in America today, and that's because we've been Judaized, that's a Judaic way of thinking, that the guys in uniform can basically get away with murder, because over in Israel, that's exactly what happens. I've got military friends and law enforcement, but primarily military friends who have been over to the country we call It's a Lie, and that's the way they treat their military and police over there. They can do no wrong. They can gun down Palestinians all night long, and there's never any repercussion whatsoever. And isn't it interesting how many of our law enforcement are sent over to Israel for training nowadays? So now our police are beginning to look more like Israelis instead of the peace officers from when I was a boy. Peace officers were some of the most respected men in our communities. And they didn't dare come on your property unless you were disturbing the peace. That's why it's called a peace officer. And the charge used to be disturbing the peace. That's before we had the paradigm shift where they went from being peace officers to law enforcement. Almost sounds like a movie, doesn't it? You see the paradigm shift there? Before, they were members of the community, they were responsible to the community, and they were a protection against outlaw government. And now it's just the opposite. They've become law enforcement, which means they take their marching orders from the very political system who tends to be the ones who need to be brought in for justice. And we become the objects of their terror and their criminality. Now, again, we all know that this isn't a whitewash brush here where it covers everybody in uniform. No, we know there's good. I've got plenty of friends and even relatives who are in police departments. So the people know that I'm not talking about every single police officer. But what I am saying is the police officers should be the very first ones who have an interest in seeing bad cops be dealt with. Unfortunately, we don't do it near enough in this country. And that's why we need to return to God's law and godly men in charge of this country, and we need preachers to start preaching this message instead of this milquetoast, syrupy, sweet garbage that they portray as Christianity in these whitewashed sepulchers called churches. That's ridiculous. There's nothing of Christ in these modern day churches. They're just social clubs, feel good clubs, and the preacher is basically a wimp who's afraid of hurting people's feelings instead of preaching the gospel the way it's supposed to be taught. And the preacher should be out there too, demanding justice in this case. The fact that that guy was acquitted is another kangaroo court where evidence was withheld. The defense, or the prosecution, I should say, was not allowed to present everything they wanted to present, because if they did, the jury would have found him guilty of murder, which is exactly what should have happened. So law enforcement has a stake in this, and they'd better wake the hell up in this country. It's getting out of hand, out of control. And government as a whole is completely out of control, and that's, again, why I'm hoping it's white hats in the military who have finally listened to those of us who've been screaming for many years that the only hope for the United States of America is if the good men in the military stand up and take our country back. Very similar to what happened in ancient Rome when the generals realized that the corruption in Rome and the Senate had gotten to the point where the empire was going to die, the legions would march on Rome with their generals at the front, and they would go in there and they would sack the city and put the errant senators to the sword, and they would start all over again. So it's not like this hasn't happened before. There's other empires. You can read the history of it. So there's nothing new here. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's an old axiom of law. And that's what I think we have happening here in the United States. It's sad to see it. It doesn't have to be that way, and we need to fix it. Back to you, bud.
Absolutely. Boy, you are on fire here tonight. You've said a lot. You mentioned Cody Snodgrass. Why don't you point folks to where they can get a copy of that interview and listen to it, Pastor Dan?
Sure. Cody is on, he's done a lot of interviews with SNAFU. That's SNAFU. That means situation normal, all effed up. SNAFU Radio with Scott Richardson. There's a lot of interviews there, but I did an interview, and the copy of it is found at the archive page on PastorDan.net. And in fact, if anybody has any questions tonight, the easiest thing to do is just go to PastorDan.net. There's ways to contact me there. There's stuff about the radio show there. There's tons of archives uploaded there, current ones and other ones that go back to 1999 when we first started. And I believe I've already uploaded my interviews with Air Force General Ben Parton, who gave subject matter expert testimony about the Oklahoma City bombing. So we have that. My interview with Chris Emery, who was part of the film crew that produced the film called A Noble Lie, which is about the Oklahoma City bombing as well, and the fact that it was a massive cover-up and an inside job. And now we've got currently Cody Snodgrass, a former CIA black ops contractor who has testified to the exact same thing that we've been saying since day one. Oklahoma City was a fabricated event. There was cover up. There was murder committed to keep it covered up. And it was a travesty against the American people, because it was used as a ruse to further bring about things like the Patriot Act and all kinds of unconstitutional laws, the police state, etc. And it's got Jewish Mossad fingerprints all over it.
I happen to hear Cody Snodgrass, one of the shows that he did with Rents. And am I correct that he was approached by one of the conspirators to be the demolitions man, and he turned it down?
No, that's true. He was. He was approached and offered $1 million, and this was back in the mid-90s, so $1 million back then was a lot more money than it is today. But he was offered $1 million to... be the lead, so to speak, on setting up the demolition in the Murrah building. But he turned it down. He felt that that was just going too far. And he's already admitted that he's been a murderer overseas and here domestically in the United States for the CIA. He's committed murder. He's not hiding that. He's confessed before Christ and pled the blood of Christ for forgiveness. That's between him and the Maker. As far as I'm concerned, you know, to me, there is no statute of limitations for murder. That's just my opinion. But Cody is, I give him credit for having enough courage to come out and admit it. He's done dirty deeds, and he'll tell you all about them. And you can listen to all these different interviews on Wren's and on Snafu Radio and other places. He is a stellar individual as far as that goes, having enough courage to admit his wrongdoing. And he'll admit it was the money. It was the glamour of it. They treated him like kings. They could do no wrong. They had judicial, coverage, just like this murderer in Mesa, Arizona. They were told that, you know, you can commit murder as long as the government says you're okay. It's all right to go out and kill anybody. So, you know, and he's turned against that, and now he's trying to get others that have committed these kind of crimes and let them know that you need to shed this guilt that you're carrying, because they know deep inside that they're murderers. They know they've committed, crimes that actually should call for their death. You can't go around killing people. And it's interesting, when I worked in Iowa many years ago, in fact, that was back in the 1990s as well, I met a guy, his name was James, he owned a gun shop, and after he got to know me good enough, he had a long talk with me one afternoon and told me that he was a U.S. Army sniper. And I said, wow, really? And about that same time, I'd been watching some stuff on Carlos Hathcock, who was the highest kill sniper in Vietnam. And he had made movies and stuff about what it takes to be a sniper. So I knew a little bit about it. So it piqued my interest. So I said, you know, well, wait a minute, James. I said, judging from your age, you don't look to be the right age group to be in Vietnam as a sniper. And he said, well, I wasn't in Vietnam. I said, wait a minute. You had 27 confirmed kills, which means he probably had 50 to 80 unconfirmed ones. So we had 27 confirmed kills. I said, well, where the hell were you that you killed, that we know of, 27? Lord knows how many others. He said, South America. He said, Dan, now you know why I wake up every night in cold sweats with nightmares. He goes, I was lied to. I was told that the dossier they threw in front of me was this evil man who was either a communist, a drug dealer, or a trafficker, or whatever. He needed to die, and I killed him. He goes, now I know what I know about the U.S. government and the liars that we have. He goes, I probably killed some very good people. In fact, this goes back even further. If you read the book called The Brothers, The Secret World War of John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles, it's an excellent book. Alan Dulles, who he and John Foster were lawyers, obviously working for Jewish outfits, big time law firms in Washington, D.C. John Foster ended up becoming Secretary of State, where Alan, during World War I, was put in charge of forming the very first spy organization. And when you read the book, it's amazing, because the whole reason for the OSS, which turned into the CIA, the whole reason for it was Alan Dulles didn't want to get a regular job when it was all over. He enjoyed spending taxpayer money on the high life and going around and rubbing elbows with the hot shots of aristocracy and all this other stuff, and spying on people and committing murder and regime change clear back then. And so he convinced, I can't remember which president it was, but he had John Foster, his brother, have the ear of the president, and they went in and convinced them that it was a good thing to form the OSS instead of disbanding the whole espionage and spy thing when the war had ended. They convinced them that we need this thing full time. And again, why? Because he liked doing it. He liked being a spy. He liked deciding who dies and who lives. And many of the people that were killed were the same kind of people that James was telling me about. They orchestrated the regime change of many leaders, elected leaders of little countries in South America and Latin America, because their Jewish masters owned hundreds of thousands of acres of plantations and whatnot, and some upstart would talk about taking the land back for the local people. Oh, they couldn't have that. Does that sound familiar? Like Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi and the guy from Serbia, Slovenia. Can't think of his name. Milosevic or whatever. He ended up getting killed. I can't think back then. That's too many years ago. But I mean, it just never ends. You can't hardly even keep up with all this stuff. It's mind numbing. The criminality, corruption, murder, and espionage being committed by, quote, governments. Is there any reason to doubt why the Bible refers to governments as beasts? Think about that, you Bible readers out there. I know a lot of you are brain dead because you go to these whitewashed sepulchers in this so-called Judeo-Christian churches, so you're not going to learn any truth there. But open that book up and start reading about what it says about beasts. Doesn't say anything good about beasts. And that's exactly what governments are. We're finding out that the governments are responsible for hundreds of millions of innocent lives. Just unbelievable death and misery and mayhem, all because of these bastard governments. And they're wanting to get more. They're never satisfied with what they got. They got to have more. And that just shows the Jewish influence because they're the same way. Never enough. Look at these Jewish bankers. They got all the major banks of most of the world, and that's not enough. It's just never enough. They got to bleed us more. Bleed us till we die. They are the consummate predator. Back to you, bud.
Well, that's interesting, and I had my mind blown reading a couple things to that effect that you're speaking of. I know you heard my show on Lyndon Johnson and his connection to the JFK murder. I've always wondered, why are we so hostile to Cuba? I know they're a communist country. I know about Fidel Castro. But I also know we had backdoor dealings with the Soviet Union and more or less bailed them out of World War II. Well, I was reading about the JFK assassination and come to find out, Meyer Lansky, the Jewish boss of the mafia here in the United States, had beach resorts, hotels, casinos, whorehouses in Cuba. And Fidel Castro came along and shut them all down and redistributed property and did some of the communist stuff, but he shut the mob down and essentially they lost tens of millions of dollars worth of assets and money in Cuba. And somehow they were able to wag the dog here of the U.S. government and the CIA to where we were going to go in the Bay of Pigs and overthrow Fidel Castro. And they had all these, Lyman Lemnitzer and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they came up with all these ideas like Operation Northwoods about how they were going to stage false flag attacks in Miami and in Florida to give us an excuse to go in there and declare war on Cuba. I mean, this is incredible stuff. We were going to go to war because the mob lost money, casino interests in Cuba. It's incredible.
Well, it goes even further than that. Since I live in South Florida, I have many Cuban friends, so they've informed me about a lot of things I didn't know. It goes deeper than that. It was war. Jewish faction A was fighting Jewish faction B. Because you got to remember, Fidel Castro is Jewish. Fidel Castro was educated in New York. He went to university in New York. So he's a New York educated Jew. He ran as a conservative. When he was talking about coming to power in Cuba, all the Cuban people told me he never said anything about being communist. He ran on conservatism, and he had a lot of popular support because of it. I know because I dated a lady whose father and her uncle, her father's brother, were both pro-Castro revolutionaries. But once he came to power and his true calling came out, where he was a devout communist and he rounded people up and had them killed and did all the dirty deeds that he did, her father and his brother became anti-Castro revolutionaries, or free Cuba fighters, if you want, freedom fighters for the Cubans. And they were part of the group that were betrayed at the Bay of Pigs. Now, her uncle ended up spending 30 years in a dirty, dingy prison because he got caught, whereas her father escaped to the United States, and that's how she got to stay here. So it's interesting what you find out when you talk to the people who are actually from there. Many of the older Cubans are very upset to this day about the treason that was committed that day. If we had not committed treason at the Bay of Pigs, Cuba would be a free land, a republic to this day, and the Cubans would be running it just as they ran it prior to the 1950s when Castro came to power. So all that was Jewish faction A and Jewish faction B were fighting, and the Jews that were running the casinos and all lost, and the Jews that wanted all that money won because they had control of the government, whereas the mobsters just had control and lots of money, but they didn't have the backing of the U.S. military and the U.S. Congress, and they didn't have the ability to commit treason behind Kennedy's back. A lot of Cubans blame John Kennedy for the Bay of Pigs to this day. They spit on John Kennedy's pictures and his name. And I've told him, I said, you really shouldn't do that. And they said, why not? He betrayed us. I said, no, John Kennedy didn't betray you. People in his administration betrayed you. The same kind of treason that committed the Oklahoma City bombing and the 9/11 Twin Towers and Building 7 and the Pentagon fiascos of 9/11. That was all insiders committing treason. And the same thing happened to John F. Kennedy. And one of the reasons they had to silence him is because he probably would have found out who did it. And John F. Kennedy did not like the CIA and was going to disband it. That was the other thing, because he knew the true roots. Just as if you read that book called The Brothers, you'll find the true roots too. It's despicable. The CIA was never put together for the defense of this country. The CIA is nothing more than almost like a mob, the enforcers for a mob boss. So I know there's a lot of people in the CIA think they're there for patriotic reasons, but I'm going to tell you, no, you're not. You're there to do the Jews' bidding, because look at who sits at the top of most of our intelligence agencies. It's almost always Jews. In fact, I remember when Time magazine had the three top people in the FBI. The top man was Schultz. The second in command was a Jewish guy. The third in command was a Jewish woman. Right on the front page of Time magazine. So the top three rascals at the FBI were all Jews. Isn't that amazing? And we wonder why our intelligence agencies commit treason.
Well, that's right. You mentioned the Dulles brothers. I think, wasn't it Kennedy? He fired the top one at the CIA after the Bay of Pigs thing. And then LBJ uses him on the Warren Commission.
Exactly. So it's incredible. It's a tight circle of betrayal and tight circle of treason in the Beltway.
Well, let me ask you about, let's go back to the early 90s here, back to Ruby Ridge in Waco, Texas. How close, maybe we weren't close at all, how close was something to being kicked off, either at Ruby Ridge with white people taking action, maybe a militia would show up? How close was it? Was there any chance of something happening to where the Branch Davidians would have some rescue by locals coming to town, or maybe even Randy Weaver? Was that even in talks at the time?
No. Randy Weaver was the first step. Now you got to remember, Randy Weaver, if I remember right, was 1992, correct?
Yeah, that sounds right. And I think that was still the H.W. Bush era too, right?
Well, think about it. Henry Kissinger made his famous speech in Environs, France in 1991, where he said the American people would never accept world government unless we bring terror. All right, I'm paraphrasing somewhat, but his speech was basically that. And he was speaking to a Bilderberger group, I believe, but it was in Evian's France, outside of the United States, but there are still quotes available. I talk about it on the radio all the time, where he basically said the American people aren't going to accept this world government idea unless we bring them terror. They have to be fearful of an outside force. which is what terrorism's all about. Up until 1991, you never heard about terror or terrorism in the United States. It was ridiculous. You know, everybody loved us. We were a Christian nation, and we helped many people around the world. So this whole thing is a Jewish construct. Henry Kissinger is a Zionist pig dog communist Jew. And so he told us through that speech what they were going to plan. And next thing you know, Randy Weaver's family, being Christian Identity, by the way. In fact, Vicki Weaver was even a stronger believer than Randy was. So it was actually Vicki Weaver that was the target, not Randy. They went through Randy to get Vicki. Vicki was very outspoken about the criminality in the government. She was a very strong proponent of the identity message, et cetera. Or Randy, he sort of went along with it and everything else, but Vicki was the strength of that family. And they went through Randy and his family to get him. He was set up by an undercover agent. Here we go again. We're paying for these scumballs to do this. And he handed Randy a shotgun and said, "Here, look at my new shotgun." And Randy handled it. And the SOB went back to his house and sawed off the end of it and took it back to his lapdog, his masters, and said, "Look, I got Randy Weaver's fingerprints on this. It's a sawed-off shotgun, so now we have a warrant. We're going to go after him." That's how it all started. See how they do these things? And Randy Weaver, they changed his court date on him. He didn't even know it. He was not made aware of it. They changed his court date, well, actually, so he didn't show up. Now they claimed that that gave them the pretext they needed to go up there to search and apprehend him for not showing up at his court appearance. Well, it's kind of funny, though. The six guys they send up there are all marshals, not one piece of identification on them, not one identifying mark on their camouflage uniforms, and they're walking through the woods to the cabin, not the main driveway up there. They didn't announce themselves. They sneak up on the Weaver family. The dogs went crazy, so Randy Weaver, Kevin Harris, and Sammy all went out with their deer rifles because they thought it was deer. And they split up, and they came across Sammy, and they killed the dog, and they killed Sammy. And Kevin Harris was wounded. And they drug Sammy's body back to the cabin and dressed it as best they could because he was already dead. And the dog they left behind, and the marshals took their Jeep and drove over that dog 20 times to show their contempt for this Christian family. That's the kind of people that we have in uniform and doing ops in this country. They're monsters. There's no other word for it but monsters. Who else could do something like that? And then the next morning, Lon Hierucci, oh, that sounds like a good Irish name, doesn't it? Lon Hierucci puts a bullet in Vicki Weaver standing on the porch of the cabin holding a six-month-old baby. That's the kind of people we've got in our military and in our law enforcement in this country and working for the government. And just ask Cody Snodgrass what kind of people we've got. Yeah, that's what we've got. They're not men. Men don't do things like that. Animals do things like that. And it's time that the militia in this country rise up, and if the military isn't going to do their damn job, then maybe it's time for the militia to do their job. Because it says very clearly in Scripture, your land is cursed until the innocent blood that has been shed is vindicated. And for you people out there with a public school education so you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground, what that means is if you don't get vengeance, if you don't bring the people who commit these crimes to justice, then God has turned his back on you. And that's the United States of America today. Wallowing in sin, wallowing in corruption, and sinking faster than the Titanic. Back to you.
Yeah, Lon Hierucci, he's another one who I don't think he's ever been touched or had so much as a crossword said to him in public.
No, he was exonerated and given a bonus. And he showed up at Waco. So he kills Vicki, and then they give him an assignment to help execute the 17 little children that were burned alive and the senior citizens in Waco. So that shows you what kind of animal that guy is. And yet our government saw fit to give him a bonus and make sure he had a very comfortable life for committing murder. I'm telling you, the dirt runs so deep, it's almost mind-boggling in this country. And I'm telling you, the prayer warriors are praying for Yahweh to bring about a righteous army, the Ezekiel 37 army, that is not going to stand for this kind of garbage anymore. And when that army goes forth, they're going to hunt these people down. And there is no piece of paper from the government, no decree from this criminal government that's going to save their sorry asses.
Now, there was a man, I think he was number two in the FBI at the time of Ruby Ridge. It wasn't Louis Free, it was his deputy, and I think that guy's name is Larry Potts. And quietly behind the scenes, Louis Free had to fire him, had to demote him over his handling of, I think, Ruby Ridge and Waco together. I'm a big listener, a big fan of Mark Kornke out of Michigan, and he was big in the 80s and 90s with the militia stuff, and he claims that, I don't know if there's videotape out there, but the people at Waco, the BATF, the bat faggots, as he calls them, that they were more or less engaging in a scene like you would see at Bohemian Grove when they do a ritual. I mean, people just indulging in it, loving in it, getting their jollies off over the fact that they were killing innocent men, women, and children, Christians in particular. Do you have any information regarding that? I know it's obscure, and I'm kind of throwing it at you just off the top, but...
Well, I don't know if it was Mark's video that I had years ago, because I was up in Michigan for a while, so I'm very, very familiar with Mark Kornke. I don't remember if it was his video, but I did see a video that had been taken inside as they were preparing for the Waco thing. And there's a female, police officer handing out videotape to the news media because they wanted to make sure they got everything on film. So this was all orchestrated because the feds and different police departments were being, looked at pretty heavily. There was talk about cutting back their budgets, whether we actually even needed them or not. And so this had a lot to do with striking terror, because after all, they wanted terror. So it's usually a multifaceted thing with these people. They're properly Mossad trained. They're Jews. So they always look for multiple angles. So what did they need? Well, first of all, they wanted make people feel ashamed of being, first of all, white, second of all, Christian, third of all, owning firearms, even though every single firearm at the Koresh church, they called it a compound, but it was actually a church buildings, everything they had was completely legal. They had all the FFL paperwork that's necessary for everything they had on there. So that's all BS. There was no child abuse going on, because they tried to throw that in there at the time. They tried to throw in there that he was a polygamist. Oh, whoop-dee-doo, what if he was? But he wasn't. So, I mean, they threw all this in here because they wanted the American people to do what the American people do best, which is go back to sleep. Let the government tell you any bullshit story they want. Just go back to sleep, folks. Go ahead. Keep watching your reality TV and your sports, sipping up on the wine and the beer and the whiskey. Yeah, just go back to sleep. It's okay that we murdered all those people, including the senior citizens and 17 little children, burned alive. But that's okay, because Koresh might have been a polygamist. Oh, my God. They deserve to roast in hell. Even though everybody in the town knew David Koresh, they didn't have any problem with him. They had no problem with the Branch Davidians whatsoever. They were good people and hard workers. And David Koresh was in town frequently. If they actually wanted to get him, they could have picked him up in town anytime they wanted. They wanted a showdown. They wanted lots of blood. And you're right, it was just like a ritual. Just like the Jews always want. They claim that they were holocausted. That's bullshit. Look up the word Holocaust and what it means. It's a burnt offering. How many of these things end up with fires? You know, Randy Weaver's cabin was supposed to go up in flames too. And Bo Greitz can attest to this, and some of the other military and militia men that were up on that hill. They wanted to kill the entire family, which means three children, one being an infant, Randy Weaver's daughters, Kevin Harris, who was very severely wounded, and Randy Weaver. And they had a helicopter with a bladder full of fuel oil, and they were going to dump it over that cabin and torch it with them inside because they don't like any evidence left behind. Does that sound familiar? Let's see. Marah Building taken to the ground and hauled away. Twin Towers taken down and hauled away. Goes on and on and on, doesn't it? But thank God it rained. They had a heavy rain that day, and that's the only thing that saved the Weaver family. And besides that, do you know the Weaver family won a civil lawsuit against the United States government for wrongful death? How many Americans know that? $3.1 million was given to Randy Weaver and his daughters in settlement in a civil case. Oh, I wonder why the news media didn't tell you that. A jury in a civil case found Randy Weaver and his family innocent and the government wrong. The news media in this country are nothing but whores. They are 100% whores.
You mentioned Bo Greitz. He's another one from that era, and I haven't heard too much of him since. What's your take on him? He was kind of an intermediary and negotiator. Was he middle of the road, or was he hardcore patriot?
I'm not that familiar with Bo as far as him personally. I used to communicate a little bit, and I knew a lot more back then. There were people on both sides a little bit like Trump. There were days that Bo Greitz seemed like probably one of the most patriotic men you'd ever meet, and then there were other days that looked like he was tucking his tail and running. So I can't speak for Bo Greitz. I don't know. I don't even know if he's still alive. But, yeah, he was big back then, and he had days where, like I said, he seemed like he was larger than life and very much a patriot, and then there were other days that looked like he was going along with the powers that be.
Right, right. Yeah, I kind of got that impression, too, and I've always wondered about him. Of course, with Oklahoma City, like you said, I think it was pretty much the bad guys doing that to scare all the white Christian men. And there were some blacks, too, in the militia movement. Like, I think his name was J.J. Johnson out in Montana or out west. But their idea was to scare all the white people away from the militia movement. And they tried to tie in Timothy McVeigh, and they tried to tie Mark Kornke directly to Timothy McVeigh. And really, truth be told, Pastor Dan, if you dig into Timothy McVeigh, you'll see he was closer to people like Andreas Strassmeier, who were reporting back to the ADL and the SPLC, than any of these militia patriot-type folks. Roger Moore in Arkansas, he's another government informant. Carol Howe, down there at Elohim City. Robert Millar, some people say he had ties back and was an informant and was scratching backs and saying things. This whole thing really stinks, and it really ties back to the ADL and the SPLC more so than the Patriot movement, I think. What's your take?
Yeah, you're 100% right. I remember back when I was first starting my radio show, I had a reporter send me an email. He wanted to do an interview about me and my group. So I emailed him back, and I said, "What group?" He said, "Well, I know you're part of a white supremacist group, and I wanted to talk to you." And I said, "Well, first of all, I don't know who the hell you are." And I said, if I did do an interview, it'd have to be a live interview. And he didn't want to do that. But it started me searching because I said, where the hell did he even know about me? And second of all, where did he get the idea I'm a group? So I came to find out through friends of mine about a year later. They sent me a note saying, "Dan, you got to check the Southern Poverty Law Center's website out. You're listed on there." And I went to the website, and sure enough, there was a star sitting in the little town in Michigan where I live, and it had my By Yahweh's design and put me down as a white supremacist group. I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool. I'm sitting here doing a little radio station broadcast from a little farmhouse in Michigan, and I'm a group." You know, so the Southern Poverty Law Center had me listed as a white supremacist group. I said, wow. But you find out that it's typical of Jews, okay? First of all, the Southern Poverty Law Center, their main function is to keep other Jews, lower-level Jews, afraid. You see, Jews love people that are afraid because afraid people will listen and they will pay money. Southern Poverty Law Center takes in multiple millions of dollars, and all they do is run a website and put out scare tactics that the big bad white supremacists are causing all kinds of trouble or potentially will, and that makes sure that Jews send them lots and lots of money so they can keep an eye on, quote, us white Christians that own guns. Oh, wow. So, again, it's a lie. It's just like Jesus Christ said. When a Jew's lips are moving, they're lying. He didn't say it quite that way. What he said was, when they speak a lie, they speak it their own language, which is a biblical way of saying basically the same thing. When a Jew's lips are moving, he's lying. That's all there is to it. They lie because all they're after is power, control, and money. Exactly what Christ said. And that's why they hated Christ, and they hate us, for the same exact reason. Christ was a white man. He had blonde hair and blue eyes. There ain't no doubt about it. He was not a Jew. That's one of the biggest lies ever told in the modern era. He was not a Jew. And they hated him being a white man because he was white and he told the truth. And they can't stand that. They hate it. They hate anybody telling the truth about what's going on because the Jews are all about the lie. Back to you, bud.
Can you go into any detail about, I mentioned Robert Millar and Elohim City and the compound that they had there that was Christian Identity. What about Richard Wayne Snell of the, I think they called it the CSA, the Covenant, the Sword, and the Arm of the Lord down there in Arkansas, Oklahoma? Did you know any of those guys? What's the story there?
I heard of them. I didn't know any of them personally, but what I came to find out, because I was new into all this, I had my eyes opened up when Randy Weaver's family was attacked. That was a major wake-up call for me and most of my friends. And so I started looking into things. I heard about those groups. And what I found out is it's a lot like the KKK. Most of the members of a large number of the KKK organizations today are actually feds. So if the feds were forced out of the KKK, there wouldn't be very many of them left. Again, there's a amount of power and money involved, and so they got to keep a boogeyman alive for you to be afraid of. And so they do that. They keep the KKK up. Most of them are actors. Most of them are actually bad actors. Feds under the either they're feds or being paid by the feds. I knew a couple guys. And that's why I know that's what happens. They take a payroll check from the feds. They purport the fact that their identity, there was one up in, or two of them actually, up in Pennsylvania at one time, supposedly real big identity leaders, etc. Both of them were scumbags. Both of them were child abusers. Both of them were womanizers. Both of them are liars. And so it was very disheartening for me because I was just coming to know this message, to know that many of us had been deceived into thinking these guys were legitimate. And so I proposed for myself at that time that I would disassociate myself with any of these so-called fake and phony identity leaders that existed at that time. I went back to studying some of the true identity leaders, such as Colonel Gale, and Bertrand Comparé, Wesley Swift, etc. They were true leaders and true researchers, and they taught plenty. I didn't need to listen to these quacks and charlatans with big mouths and big egos that were running around claiming to be the leaders of this message. Because the message is pure, and that's what the beauty of identity is it answers the tough questions. Just like Jesus Christ himself, Yeshua HaMashiach, when he walked this earth, he could answer the tough questions. He was for real. And a true believer of the identity message is somebody who's for real. And they actually love the Father. They love the law. They love truth. And they love what works. It's like my dad taught me when I was a little boy. He said, you can't argue with success. If something works, then you can't argue with it. It fits. And when the identity message is applied to the scripture, it answers all of the hard questions. The only problem is it doesn't fit in with the Jewish makeover of the world called political correctness and multiculturalism, which are all Jewish constructs to destabilize a Christian nation and allow them to get away literally with murder. Back to you.
You mentioned Pennsylvania. I happened to come across a name that I guess was caught up in the OKC conspiracy. They claim, and this was from Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who went out with J.D. Cash on the back roads of Oklahoma and Arkansas right after the bombing. Mark Thomas, I guess he was another CI pastor that was supposedly caught up in this conspiracy. And my God, it seems like... Of course, Terry Nichols and Tim McVeigh took the rap, and Terry Nichols, as I understand it, wasn't even in Oklahoma City that day. I don't think he should have been prosecuted and persecuted the way he was. I think he was more or less pushed along and strong-armed by McVeigh himself, but there were a whole gang of people involved in this conspiracy that never took any blame for it. Dennis Mahan went out in cased buildings with Andreas Strassmere and Michael Brescia, and there's two guys in particular, Peter Langan and Richard Lee Guthrie, who were the Aryan Republican Army. And these people were all part of this and got away with it, scot-free.
Well, yeah, but that was the staged event. That's to get you to think that it's a white supremacist or a militia activity when, like I said, Cody Snodgrass and many others, General Ben Parton, many of them said it was an inside job. There was no way that anybody outside of the government would have access to that building to plant charges on the columns the way it was done. There's no way. General Ben Parton gives the best presentation on that. I got to meet him in person in West Virginia at a Pete Peters conference. A wonderful man. And he allowed me 3 one-hour interviews, which I have available as an upload to my website. Wonderful interviews and in person, his speeches. And here's the interesting thing. Out of 3 hours of interview, he only spent an hour debunking the whole Oklahoma City thing and the fact that it was an inside job. He spent the other 2 hours, both at Pete Peters' camp and on my radio show, talking about the fact that international communism was alive and well even now, and it's working within the borders of the United States. His greater concern, even as diabolical as Oklahoma City was, his greatest concern was that Americans were sound asleep to the fact that the communists were eating away at our republic here in America. And now, years later, you can see it coming to fruition. If the white hats aren't standing up behind Trump right now to bring this whole cabal down, we're sunk. We're done. It's going to come down to battles in the street between enclaves of true patriots and the communists. That's what's in our future. If we don't have actual white hats behind what's going on right now, it is not going to be pretty. Most of the people I know, the true story of communism and the hell that the Russian people, the Chinese people, the Cambodian people, and many, many others under communism, the torture, the rape, the murder that went on wholesale under communism, it is a diabolical system. That's why the Jews invented it. They're from Satan, and communism is from Satan's own loin. It's his child. And many patriots in this country will die before they allow the same thing to be done to our children and grandchildren that was done to the Russians and the Chinese and Cambodians and many other people under communism. So it's going to turn into a bloodbath. That's all there is to it. If the white hats aren't going to stand up and do their duty and bring these communists to heel, then this country's over. It's done.
You know, I was thinking about this whole dagger war behind the scenes, and I couldn't help but think, and maybe I'm totally off base, maybe I'm going too far with this, but I thought, you know, back after Trump won the election, when he did that interview with Nightline or 2020, whoever it was, where he had his whole family with him, and he said unequivocally, Hillary's been through enough, not going to prosecute her, not going to lock her up. I thought, boy, that signaled weakness, and that let the hyenas run wild, and that told them they could run wild. I think that was a big mistake, and that's part of the reason he faces so much trouble and heckling from the establishment like he does. What do you think about that?
Well, again, Trump is a player, and Trump is taking his orders from somebody. Believe me, Trump is not big enough. He's got a lot of money, but he doesn't have that much money. So he's taking marching orders from somebody. My hope is that it's the White Hats, and with Trump working with them in agreement for leniency and clemency, that they are doing the art of the deal. After all, Donald Trump's made billions of dollars being a deal maker, and he wrote a whole book about it. So they probably got his expertise as part of it to what can we do to have these people basically out themselves. And so I have a feeling that that might be what's going on. He was playing them to get them to do things that will out themselves, because just tonight I was reading several reports that says that there are some major arrests, et cetera, that are going to go on here in the very near future, possibly within the next 48 hours, of some very, very big names are going to go down. And you got to remember, 4,500 pedophiles around the world have been rounded up here in the last couple months. 4,500, that's a lot. There's people resigning left and right. You got Al Franken, that misfit up there in Minnesota, has stepped down. There's several others on the verge of stepping down. So you got to say, well, wait a minute. Okay, these guys are scumbags. That Weinstein out in Hollywood, he's just the beginning. There's more coming. So I got to believe that these forces that Trump's a part of, it's not Trump doing it now, these people that want this cleaned out with Trump's aid might be exactly what's happening. At least that's the way it looks at the moment. My prayers are going out there for them, because if they are the White Hats, and you got to remember, I was called back in 2010. I sent out an email to my list about a letter that had been written by I can't think of his name. It's a Scottish name. It was either MacDonald or Campbell. I can't remember. But he wrote this letter as a veteran, why he felt that the only salvation for the United States of America was a military coup. And it was probably one of the best letters I've ever read for the logical reasons behind a military coup. So I sent it out. Well, sometime later, I got contacted by a gentleman in South Carolina. And he got a hold of me and he said, look, you sent me this letter, and I found it to be fascinating. I'm a former military intelligence officer, and I'm still in touch with a whole lot of people involved in that sphere. I'd like to talk to you about it. So I said, sure, I got no problem with that. And he gave me a phone call, and we spent about 35 minutes on the phone. It was actually a very, very good conversation. And during that conversation, he asked me the question, Dan, would the American people support what this letter's talking about? If the military actually stepped up and did what this letter's talking about, would the American people support it? And I told him, I said, yes, they will. The real Americans, the true Americans, red-blooded, Bible-believing, family-believing, Second Amendment-believing, First Amendment-believing Americans will not only support it. Well, his first concern was, would they try to stop us? I said, no, they won't try to stop you. In fact, they're not only not going to stop you, they're going to assist you, and I would be one of them. I told him right then and there, if the military ever gets enough balls to do their duty and bring this cabal down, I would be one of those patriots standing at my door with my rifle, my fatigues, my boots, and my helmet, and I will do whatever you ask me to do. I'll wash jeeps, I'll carry latrine buckets, I'll cook food, I'll dress wounds, or I'll pump bullets at the enemy. You just tell me what you want me to do to help, because the American people have had enough. And this is back in 2010 now. I said, the American people have had enough. We've been sitting here watching us die a death of 1,000 cuts, slowly, every year, bleeding more and more and more. And the nation cannot survive. You can only lose so much blood and the body dies. And we've been about bled out. So unless you want outright civil war in this country and it to just disappear as a Christian constitutional republic, then the last hope for this country is literally the military to step in, because the political process is a joke. You know that, Ted. The political process and the court system in this country is completely Judaized, which means it's completely worthless unless you're a gangster and a communist. Does that about sum it up for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think most of the listening audience would not quibble with that one bit. And I think the facts certainly bear that out, overwhelmingly. Well, you know, I wonder about the military. I don't have friends or family. I haven't been in the military myself. And over the Obama years, especially the mid to latter Obama years, I heard all these stories in Patriot media about older, top-level, high-ranking, white, heterosexual, Christian male men being drummed out by Obama. So I've wondered how many good men are actually left.
Well, the group that was drummed out was done more by Obama, but also the Bush and Clinton administrations drummed a lot of good guys out. The good news is they didn't go away. Now, some of them were killed. I mean, we've had generals and admirals that died, like in boating accidents and different things like that. Those were murders. They were not accidents. That's bullshit.
Right.
So we've had you know, and these other generals and admirals and high ranking of military guys, they know what the real deal is. They're not going to buy this bullshit story. So they know that everybody is subject to just disappearing. And so what I was told is that they formed a group called America First, and they banded together to watch what was going on. And Lord knows what all they talk about. I have no idea. I wasn't there, but I can imagine. And I believe that this gentleman that called me that day was either a member of that group or was in touch with a member of that group. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's the resurrection of these men who were drummed out quite unconstitutionally, quite immorally, and they have, behind the scenes, put together a army to do like the generals did for Rome back in the days when corruption was going to destroy the republic. We're in the exact same spot. The corruption in this country is sickening. It is absolutely nauseating, the level of corruption in this country. And if a righteous army doesn't rise up to do something about it, then we will sink and burn the same way Sodom and Gomorrah did, because we are just as corrupt and evil as they were. And if anybody doesn't know that, they are truly blind as a bat and dumber than a box of rocks. That's all there is to it. If you read what Sodom and Gomorrah was up to, and as the book says, the second coming of Christ would be as it was in the days of Noah. Well, if you read what the townspeople around Noah were doing and what they were involved with, take a look around at your towns and cities and countryside of the United States of America and most other white nations today, and it's exactly what they are. Just as dirty, just as corrupt, just as blind, and with their hands saturated with innocent blood.
Well, you're absolutely 100% right on the money with that. It's really disheartening to look around, even when you go out or even when you talk to people, to hear what they think about certain things, and you kind of just shake your head and roll with it and continue on doing your own thing. But you know, in a lot of ways, and I think a lot of people are, you're kind of shocked things aren't worse than they are, or that things haven't totally crumbled to the ground. We've been in a bad way for a long time, and it really is incredible things have held together the way they have. But Chicago, Detroit, these cities, I mean, these cities are more or less crumbled and collapsed and no man's land. Law enforcement doesn't travel into these cities because it's too dangerous. And anywhere you don't have police and the rule of law, you have a state of lawlessness. You have a state of civil war, like Tom Chittum pointed out. And it's incredible. I really don't know. Well, I could go on and on about white people and how wrong they are and how much they just don't care and how weak they are. And really, our weakness is asking for this. Us sitting down and not doing anything about it and rolling with it and rolling over and being weak and letting it happen, we're asking for more of it by doing that.
Yeah, evil prevails when good men do nothing. It's as simple as that. It's not a very complicated thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, this has got so many different facets to it, and it's really a complicated thing. It's going to take some real brains. No, it doesn't take any kind of brains. An idiot could figure this out. It's called corruption. It's called going against God's law. God put this earth here. This is his creation. We are his created beings. There's no mystery here. We're not just a bunch of molecules that decided one day to form a primazo, or I can't even think of the term for the protozoa or whatever, amoeba, and it just sort of accidentally formed this, and then accidentally over millions and millions of years did it. And that's all such hocus pocus. It's not a mystery. We were put here. There's a reason why there's no so-called missing links back to Neanderthal man and all that, because they don't exist. It's all BS. All right. We were put here about 7,000 years ago. Adam kind. Adam means to be rosy in the cheeks or to blush. Adam. It's the same word that means earth, and it just depends on how it's spelled, whether it's a proper name or a description. So Adam or Adam was put here. He shows blood in the face. There's only one race, and we're only talking about pure races, not half-breeds, because mongrelization is against God's law. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter if you're talking about vegetables, trees, plants, animals, or people. Doesn't matter. He never gave us a right to mongrelize. So when I talk about those kind of things, I'm talking about a pure-blooded race. And of the pure races, only one shows blood in the face, and that's Adam kind. There's only one race that was given the spirit of creativity and inventiveness, and that's the white race. As one gentleman I interviewed recently said, if you look at the inventions that we call instrumental in civilization and creating civilization, 97% were created by the white race. That's just all there is to it. Whether people are ashamed of that or not, or they don't like hearing it, that's too tough, too bad. You have to deal with it. That's your problem, not mine. I study history. I study and research constantly, seeking truth, because I want the truth, no matter what it is. Even if it hurts, I want the truth. And if people out there are offended by truth, then it's their problem. The fact of the matter is, that's what the white race was put here for. It's why Christianity used to be called the white man's burden. Because the Gospels teach the Adamites, who are the ancient Israelites, the Caucasians today, that they are to be the leaders, which means you lead by example. That's why it was called a white man's burden. We were to lead by example even when all the other races live a different way. We weren't allowed to go that way. We were to go the way he told us to go. And we were to bring law and order. And if you look through history at the migrations of the Israelites and the Hebrews of old and the Israelites later and the Caucasians after that, when they went through the Caucasus Mountains, that's where we got the name Caucasian. When the Israelites went through the Pass of Israel through the Caucasus Mountains. So from that time on, that's what the name we took. But that we brought law and order wherever we went. And when our people moved up and moved on, the countryside went back to disorder and lawlessness. And the only reason that our white nations today are exhibiting lawlessness is we've allowed the interloper to sneak in as a thief. In this case, it's called Judaism and Jews. And Christ warned us about it. He said that these people would be wolves in sheep's clothing. On the exterior, now some of them don't look like us at all. I mean, you look at Madeleine Albright, she looks like a troll. So she didn't even look white. But a lot of them, like Michael Landon, Bob Hope, Tony Curtis, Paul Newman, they look white. They could pass for white, even though they're not white. So that's what Christ meant by wolves in sheep's clothing. The outside, they're going to look like the rest of us sheep. Inside, they're nothing like us. They're monsters. And as they've come to power in this country and every other white nation, they've convinced our government people and our military and our police officers to become more like them. And that has to change. And I'm going to tell you something. Our Heavenly Father does not like to be mocked. I'm going to tell you, and I was given the job to speak it very plainly. He will take it only so far. And then his vengeance is going to be poured out on this earth. It's called a fire in Scripture. Fire. And anybody that's ever been a fireman or grew up on a farm like I did, where we used to burn the stubble in the fields and burn fire lines in the woods, etc., you're very familiar with what fire does. It's almost terrifying, the power and how fast it can burn. And it burns completely. So when Father says, my fire will kindle against those who mock me and mock my word and mock my law, mankind is asking for a serious beating. Serious beating. And they're going to get it. So right now there's a time for repentance. And that's particularly being told to the people in uniform and in government positions. You've got a small window right now for repentance, like Cody Snodgrass. What happens to him eventually is in Father's hands, not my hands. But he took advantage of that, and he's come clean, and I believe personally that the Father will bless him for that, because he's repented of what he's done, and he's trying to make right, and he's trying to tell the truth and wake others up. There is a window for that right at the moment, but very soon, and it's not going to be much longer, that window is going to slam shut exactly the way the door in the ark was slammed shut by the hand of Yahweh himself, because Noah and his family might have gotten weak and let some of those people on. Yahweh slammed that door shut and sealed it. He did not want any of those people in that surrounding area to survive. They had been condemned and marked already. Same thing's happening right now. These people have gotten away literally with murder, pedophilia, sex slave trade trafficking, all these absolutely satanic and sadistic evils. They've gotten away with it up till now. That's about ready to change. And if those people that are out there and somehow involved and somehow are part of the cover-up, you've only got a very small window, folks, because the Scripture is very clear, Ted. It says when that Ezekiel 37 army rises up to bring his judgment upon the peoples of this world, it's very clear when it says there will be no mercy shown, there will be no quarter given. I can't say that more seriously. People need to understand this is going to be a bloodbath. And it's going to be the wicked that are going to do the bleeding. Trust me. Enough innocent people have already bled. This is the time that we're going to bleed the wicked out. And they're going to return to the dirt where they belong. So those folks involved in all this chicanery and all of this sick and sadistic stuff, you only got a short time to make peace and get right, or you're going to be part of that crowd that's going to fill the valley up to a horse's bridle with blood. You're going to be part of that crowd that the crows and other carrion are going to fill their bellies with your flesh. You're going to be part of that crowd that's going to take us 7 months to bury you. That's how many are going to perish. It's going to take us 7 months of peace, and all we do is bury the dead. That means a lot of people aren't going to make it, Ted.
Well, so be it. People deserve their just rewards, their just desserts, and it's probably been far too long in the making for that to come and help. You know, you were talking, and I've read these sort of things. I didn't have friends or family that were into Christian identity. I kind of stumbled into it through my own studies and wasn't particularly interested in organized religion or Christianity really whatsoever. I was really repulsed by Zio-Christianity and this Jewish Christianity in these churches. And I had read these conspiracy history books, Fritz Springmeier, David Icke, Jeff Rentz, Alex Jones, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of dark stuff, dark material. Kathy O'Brien has written a book about her experiences, and I read these accounts of global pedophilia networks and child trafficking and white sex slave trafficking, which the state of Israel happens to be the capital for that particular traffic. And there was one, when I was studying some sermon or lecture and reading scriptures, there was one particular verse, I think it was in Matthew, that struck me and sent chills down my spine when I read it. And it had, you probably know this better than me, it's totally off the top of my head here, but there's one that says, "Those who hurt the little children, it's going to be so bad, it would be better if you had a millstone hung around your neck and cast into the depths of the sea."
Yep, you're right about that. I can't quote the exact verse, but you're right. It'd be better for them to have a millstone tied around there. And people have to understand, a millstone's a big-ass stone. If you look in the old days with windmills, that's where the first buildings were ever erected to turn grain into flour, and they used millstones. Millstones were great, big, heavy stones that the windmills would turn. So having one of them tied around your neck means you're going to go straight to the bottom. There ain't any way you can survive that. So, to hurt and shedding of innocent blood is considered one of the greatest sins in the Bible. The shedding of innocent blood is also where we get the term murder. Killing people is not against God's law. You're supposed to kill intruders in your home. You're supposed to kill somebody trying to rape your wife. You're supposed to kill an enemy soldier coming into your village. Those are what we call justifiable homicide, or the killing of man, homa being, or homo being man, side being the death, from the Latin word. So justifiable homicide. But murder, on the other hand, is a sin, because that means it's innocent. And people say, well, how do you know what's innocent? Well, you know what's innocent because of God's law. All right? Only God's law determines true innocence, just like this police officer getting away with murdering that man in the La Quinta Motel. A jury, which was tampered with, and a corrupt court system, which looks the other way to bad cops, he was exonerated. But is he exonerated in God's eyes? Oh, no. He shed innocent blood. He is a murderer. He is condemned. And I pray every believer, I'm talking about the real hardcore believers, are praying an imprecatory prayer against this cop. I'm praying that he ends up in the same exact situation someday. I pray that he has the weapon turned on him the same way he turned it on that poor man in that hallway. And I pray whoever has that weapon gives it to him the same way he gave it to that man. That would be just desserts for him. I'm not going to do it. I'm not advocating anybody else do it, but Father Yahweh can see to it that it's done. And typically when Father Yahweh sees to it, it'll be one of his own, one of the other bad cops that does it. It won't be one of us. It won't be one of us believers that does it. It'll be a crook. It'll be a thief. It'll be a drug dealer, or it'll be another bad cop. Karma's a bitch, folks. You're going to commit crimes. You might get this corrupt system to get you off, but as my buddies used to tell me all the time, man, karma's a bitch, Dan. That's right, bad karma. Committing murder is bad karma. Even if there wasn't a Yahweh and his law, bad karma has a way of coming back and biting you in the ass. And I'm a praying that this piece of dog meat called they call him a police officer, but he's an animal. I'm praying he gets it just the way he dished it out. I hope that karma comes right back and bites his sorry ass. Back to you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And Gosh, I don't know about this man who was gunned down and killed, but I happen to think that the fact that this guy, this cop, Braidsford, I think it was his name, the fact that this man is still breathing, there's something wrong with it. And I could only hope that if I ever found myself in that situation where a friend or a family member or extended relative, something happened to them, I hope I would have enough spirit, enough heart to go make things right, and we'd live in a better world if men committed to being men and took care of business in that respect. That's why we are in the situation we are in. You're talking about the pedophiles and people who abuse children. There's something messed up when these pedophiles, these sex perverts, the only place they face repercussion is actually in prison. It takes another prisoner to kill these people. There is no justice, like you were saying earlier, in the legal system. And there is no testicular fortitude in the population of American males out there. They won't do it. They don't care. They can't be bothered. I'm sure you've seen these videos, Pastor Dan, but there's a couple in particular, and Joe Biden is one where they're at some holiday meeting or taking photos for some gala that they're hosting at the White House, and you hear him saying obscene, stomach-churning things to little children, boys and girls, and putting his hands on them. And there's video of Jeff Sessions, the current Attorney General, swatting his hand away from his grandchildren. I happen to think that if the truth be told, the reason why these politicians in D.C. and even at your state and local level, the reason why these people go along with evil and commit treason is because they're blackmailed and bribed, and they're closet pedophiles or they're closet faggots. Over to you.
Well, I can tell you a case of a personal friend of mine. But before I do, remind me that a personal friend of mine whose cousin was a U.S. representative. Let me tell you that story here in just a second. But in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, it says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, just to stumble, it would be better for him that a huge millstone should be hung around his neck and that he should be sunk in the depths of the sea." That's also repeated in Mark chapter 9, verse 42, and Luke 17, verse 2. So that's a triple witness to causing those that believe in Yahweh to stumble. That's just causing them to stumble, let alone sucking their blood or eating their bodies or putting them in sex slave trade. Can you imagine what they deserve? But anyway, I had this friend whose cousin was a U.S. representative. He went to Washington, D.C., and he came back home less than a year later. And so I was working with this guy, and he told me the story. So I said, well, wow, man. I said, that's amazing. I said, did you talk to him about it? He said, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, well, tell me. What was the reason he turned down a lucrative job in Washington, D.C. as a U.S. representative? He said, what he told me was, I'm getting out of Washington, D.C. before they do to me and my family what they've done to every other family in Washington, D.C. And then many months later, he told me that there was a follow-up discussion about some of that. And he said the final straw was when Dick Cheney came in and, I believe it was Dick Cheney, I'm pretty sure it was Dick Cheney, came in and put a piece of paper in front of him and said, here's a bill that's coming up and here's how you're going to vote on it. And he said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to vote however I think is best for my constituents. He said, no, you don't understand. This is how you're going to vote on it. That's what goes on in Washington, D.C. All right? People wonder why we get the idiotic laws we get and why nothing's ever done about the disastrous immigration policy. There's no border enforcement. There's no throwing these bastards out. There's no crimes being properly punished according to the God's law. Kidnapping, rape, and murder call for execution. Now, you got to remember another thing. This country screwed up because we have a prison system. We didn't have a prison system for a very long time until the Jews eked into here. We had capital punishment, and we did not have a prison system, and America was truly a Christian land. because those are the way God handles things. A prison system is not a biblical solution, ever. The Bible says that justice is to be swift, and there's only two forms of execution allowed. Execution, or two forms of punishment, execution and restitution. Neither one of them requires a man to be put into a cage like an animal and be locked away from his loved ones and from support as it is in the prison system, where you're at the mercy of the guards and the other inmates. That is 1,000% immoral. If you commit the crime of theft or any of those kind of crimes, what we call lower crimes, then you must give restitution to the victim. Guess what? The state is not a victim. So whoever you stole the car from, or you stole the bicycle from, or you stole the money from, you owe restitution to that person, which means the original comes back, and then generally it's either double or up to five times the amount, depending on the severity of the crime. So think of how many car thieves we'd have if every car thief that was found had to work instead of going to prison, had to go to a job and turn over half of their paycheck to the victim until they bought two cars to pay for their crime. You wouldn't have too many car thieves. Now, the people that commit rape, murder, and kidnapping, they're executed. There is no restitution for those crimes. None. And I want law enforcement to hear what I'm about to say, and some of you people in the military, and some of you people in intelligence. I'm going to tell you something. There's a word, we call it taking somebody into custody. It's the same word we use when we're talking about our children. We have custody. When a person is put in your custody, their well-being and safety is your responsibility. And when you arrest somebody and you do not provide for their custody, or you wrongfully arrest them or shoot them in the case of this bad cop, you have violated the law, and you have to pay the price, because now you have kidnapped. That's the same as kidnapping. You're no different than the Israelis that come in here and kidnap our girls and put them into the sex slave trade. Kidnapping. When you take somebody into custody unlawfully, without the proper paperwork, without the proper evidence, without the proper jurisdiction, you have committed kidnapping. And that's a capital offense. When God's law returns to this land, you will be hung for doing such things. I want them to hear what I'm saying. I know they listen in. And I've said it for 18 years I've been on the radio. I want you bastards to listen in, because it's my job to tell you what's going to happen to you in the very near future. What happens to me does not matter. What happens to Ted does not matter. These words are being spoken to you because that is what's going to happen to the criminals in this world in the very near future. You've hidden behind the law books and the corrupt judges and the corrupt lawyers long enough. Very soon, you're going to pay the price for your crimes. Do you hear me? I sure hell hope you do. Because it's not going to be pretty. As that verse we just read said, it's going to be better that a millstone were put around your sorry, sick neck and you were thrown in the middle of the ocean than what's going to happen to you. Innocent blood is crying out for vengeance in this world. And it's about time they got it, Ted.
Absolutely. I dream of a day, like you're saying, where white Christian men get together, they go on the local state police website, they get lists of all the sex predators, all the sex offenders, names, pictures, dates, addresses, and they go door to door and clean house. Keep pushing. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep pushing people. That day will come. It cannot come soon enough. And the same thing with the criminals and everyone else who's gotten away with their crimes. Dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
There's one caveat to this, Ted, that we have not talked about, and it's a very important caveat. I know a lot of men who are going to make up this army. I've met them. I've been honored to meet them. They are the salt of the earth. They are Rhadamanthine warriors. I just love them to death. They are the greatest of men I've ever met. True warriors, true good hearts, golden hearts. But here's something that every warrior for Yahweh needs to understand. This is not a free-for-all, guys. This is serious business. And you cannot shed innocent blood in your quest for vengeance and to clean up this mess. Because if we do that, we are no better than the ones that we're hunting down. So, you had better make sure that you're right. It's our duty to execute criminals. It's our Psalm 149 says it. Psalm 91 says it. The New Testament says it. Luke 19 verse 27 says it very clearly, that is our duty. But it also says that it's our responsibility to make sure that we do it right. The founding fathers used to have a saying that it is better that 100 guilty men go free than to hang one innocent man. Think about what that's saying, people. It's better that 100 guilty go free rather than to hang one innocent man. You see, in America today, we put people in prison for political reasons, let alone not committing a crime. So we are going to be punished for our not following the book, not following Yahweh's law. We're going to be punished. We're already in it already. All the innocent blood and all of the turmoil and the garbage we see day in and day out, we're inundated with this garbage. Those are all indications of punishment. It's called plagues. The Bible calls it plagues. And if you don't want the plagues, then you got to listen to what Hosea 4:6 and many other verses, 2 Chronicles 7:14. They tell you what the solution is, people. As Ted has said, all it takes is righteous men coming together and deciding that we're not going to follow the criminals in government anymore. They have no power over us. They have no authority over us. We just have to decide that we're going to implement God's law. Simple. It's as simple as that. Innocent people don't have to worry. Innocent people are going to cheer it, actually. It's the criminals in government and out of government that need to worry. Because we don't take bribes. That's what the word Rhadamanthine means. A Rhadamanthine warrior means that you are strictly and uncompromisingly just. And that's what's been lacking in this country. When we return to being Rhadamanthine warriors, led by Rhadamanthine leaders, then we can clean this country up and turn this into the paradise that our Father intended it to be from day one. Wouldn't that be a beautiful place, Ted, where we knew God's law was in effect and that we had righteous individuals all around us, and for the occasional bad guy that comes along, we had a system that would take care of it very swiftly, and that plague would be taken away from us. Hallelujah. I can't wait. I pray and pray and pray for it every single day.
Absolutely. Praise Yahweh. Well, things are dark, and we've got about 10 more minutes, I'd say, here, Dan. There was one story I meant to ask you about earlier, and it slipped my mind. What the heck is going on? I've seen some of this. I can't say it's true 100%, but there's enough there to make me think there's more to the story than we're being told. And I'm talking about these quote-unquote wildfires out on the West Coast in California. Neighborhoods incinerated. What the heck is going on? Do you have any information about this?
Here's the only thing I know. They're not natural. That I can tell you. Some people think it's lasers. The government has been working on that kind of technology for a long time. Other people say it's the wrath of God. Other people say it's because California was sold to the Chinese. The same corrupt government that sold Russia uranium sold property in California to the Chinese because we're in debt to the Chinese. And that this is somehow tied in with all that. I don't know about all those things, but what I can tell you is they are not natural. They are not forest fires. They are the deliberate extermination of these buildings and homes down to the foundation. And yet the trees in the yard are still there, even with their leaves. So you don't have a house fire that burns everything, including the metal and even in some cases the glass and the stones, all the way down to the foundation. There's nothing left. And the firefighters that are out there that are giving testimony are, a lot of these guys are sometimes 15, 20, 25 year veterans. And they're saying, I've never seen anything like this. There's nothing natural about what's going on, the way the fires start, the way they travel, the way they destroy the buildings down to the ground, and yet the trees are still standing. This is not forest fires. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't sections of forest that are burning, but these communities that are being taken out, these are deliberate. Many of them are deliberate. So we got something going on that's just almost spooky. So the best I can tell you is it's a little bit like the Las Vegas staged event, which to me, it was a hybrid thing. There were actors there, but there were also real people there. There was the sound system putting out the sound of machine gun fire, but there were actual bullets being fired too, as far as I can tell. So it's what we call a hybrid. Well, these fires are the same thing. People are setting fires in the woods as a cover. But where these homes are being destroyed, that's a deliberate thing. And it's a weapon far more devastating and far more focused than just a random forest fire. There's nothing random about it. So if it's Yahweh doing it, well, hallelujah. There must be a reason. That's all I can say. If it's the bad guys, you know, what's their purpose? They trying to drive the people out of California? Or at least those areas of California? Is there something under the ground there they want, like the uranium in the northern section up there? You know, we got so much criminality going on, it's hard to say what the hell's happening. But all I can tell you is it's unnatural. Just like a lot of the strange weather we've been having lately, just totally unnatural. So that's the best I can tell you, Ted.
That's certainly interesting. I've thought wildfire, especially out there in Southern California, where I think it is, the L.A. area, Los Angeles County, Orange County. You know, Malibu, I think Malibu is the whitest per capita town, and I've always thought that wildfires like that, that's really the only way you can get white people out of California. But that's just my basic thought. I don't have anything to really back that up. I will say that, like you're talking about, getting people off the land to get to the natural ore, the resources, all the wealth that's there in the ground. This is the reason for the Bundy Ranch standoff. They tried to run the Bundy family out of there because there's uranium under the ground, and this country's so deep in debt, $20 trillion in debt. There have been stories over the past decade about Hillary Clinton in particular pledging the actual land, physical, geographical North America, the continental United States, to our foreign creditors in lieu of not being able to pay this debt. And Harry Reid was one of the biggest corrupt politicians, and no doubt, I think, played a part trying to get the Bundys off that land. Maybe that's the same thing happening here.
Yeah, also I want people to pray for some political prisoners to be set free. The police officer, Daniel Holtzclaw, was railroaded into the prison system for supposedly committing rape, which he did not do. So he needs to be let loose. There needs to be a tribunal put together to show the duplicity and the criminality of the court system that put that police officer Turns out that he's actually a good police officer and he was done dirty. He needs to come out. Uri Call, the son of Gordon Call, needs to be set free. Matt Hale, that was run into prison, he's a political prisoner as well. He needs to be set free. So we need to pray for these people that are in these jails that don't belong there, and pray that the true criminals be brought in for justice in the very near future. So also, I want to let folks know, PastorDan.net, if they get a hold of me, Cody Snodgrass has his book available in electronic form at the moment. The title of the book is Choosing the Light, and it's available for $20. If they will get a hold of me, I will email them the address that you can send your check or money order to and get a copy of his book. But it sounds like it's going to be a great book. Mine's in the mail, and hopefully I'll get it very soon. But Cody goes into a lot of detail in the book, supposedly, and it talks about his conversion and deciding to give up the life that he had led and turn basically state's witness against the criminal and rogue elements of our government. So praise Yahweh for him, and we pray for Yahweh's protection to be over him while he's attempting to do what's right.
Absolutely. Why don't you take a second here, Pastor Dan, give out your contact information, your website, for some of my listeners who aren't familiar, please.
Sure. Well, again, everything you need to know is at PastorDan.net. That's www.PastorDan, that's all together, .net. The email address is simple. It's BYD, which stands for By Yahweh's Design, BYD Pastor Dan, all together, at yahoo.com. Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of me. And I've got a ton of links and archived material there, stuff for sale, authors, songwriters, some great music was just sent to me by a Canadian fella. Tremendous voice, tremendous music. I like to promote identity people as much as I can, the singer-songwriters and the authors and teachers, etc. We've got a lot of our people now, and we need to support them. Instead of spending your money in these damn businesses run by the enemy, start supporting our own brothers and sisters that are trying to do the right thing for the right reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I want to thank you for being with me, being my guest. Now, you do go live on Eurofolk Radio on Wednesdays, correct?
Yeah, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and Sunday afternoon at 12:30 Eastern Time.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you for being with me, Pastor Dan. All the listeners out there, everyone at Eurofolk Radio, Yahweh bless you all. Until next time, guys, have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.